Plant blew up, and of course church bells in Boston and surrounding areas as well for the people who died Monday at the Boston Marathon and the scores of others, 175 plus injured after two terrorists decided to wreak havoc with so many people's lives. Turns out there's much more to this story. We're going to get into it here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. How was your weekend? Were you stressed? Were you talking about the two big things, Texas and Boston and everything in between? I think that's all anybody was talking about. I like to say that the show is about the buzz in your backyard, and you can't tell me that you did not have a discussion about the FBI and whether they dropped the ball or not, or what so many countless brave people did on Friday night as they were tweeting all over the place moment by moment that bullets were flying around their neighborhood in Boston. It's amazing how the people in that town really, really pulled together and I think made a big difference ultimately in the one brother being killed and the other brother being caught in custody and awake right now. Zokar Snarev, who was the younger brother, the 19-year-old, of Tamerlan, is his older brother, the 26-year-old, who was gunned down and then run over, ultimately, by his brother. I think there are interesting twists to this story, including the fact that they got Zokar thanks to David Henberry, who needed a cigarette. He needed a cigarette because it was locked down for 15 hours in parts of Boston, in neighborhoods, cool neighborhoods right by Cambridge, where people were told, do not open the door, do not go out. Kids were home from school because of the fear of what, you know, could ultimately happen. And it did end up in a shootout on Friday with the police, as I said. And the younger brother somehow escaped after throwing explosives out of a window. It sounds like I'm in a Hollywood meeting just throwing things against the wall, doesn't it? And that's very much what it was like. So we will go through all the timelines, talk about the things that we know there. And also, I don't want to leave out what happened in Texas and the significance of that. Anything criminal has been ruled out in the investigation. This, unfortunately, I believe was part of the negligence of a plant that had been a fertilizer plant that had been in West Texas since the 60s. And the fact that it turned into a fireball and 14 people were killed and 180 people were injured. And some of those injuries were pretty serious injuries. The significance of what happened there is just as significant in a much different way as to what happened in Boston. And I bet many of you were probably up late watching what was going on, because anywhere you turned, there was just blow-by-blow accounts of how close the police were getting, you know, what happened, what's going on with the bomb suspect, how he ended up in a boat in a neighborhood, and all kinds of wild twists and turns in this manhunt, and how the FBI tracked them down, and also how the FBI also blew it in one sense. How they had the brother, the older brother, on their radar. They had him in their midst. They checked him. They cleared him. Knew that he had problems with the United States. Knew that he was heavily, heavily into Islam, but not the kind they thought that was Islamic terrorism. So the FBI now, not wanting to make a mistake, is waiting to question the lone now bombing suspect that they have in their sights. They have other couple people arrested that might be part of the sleeper cell, but they're trying to get some details from the brother on how this all happened and came together, his role in it, and you can just imagine the questions that'll be leveled at the 19-year-old. By all accounts, so many people talking about the University of Massachusetts student who was a nice guy, who worked as a lifeguard, who people liked, who was like an American kid. Who would think it would end up that he would be part of the tag team, the face of destroying the Boston Marathon and three lives and countless others ruined, and then the lockdown in, as I keep describing, one of the towns in Boston, Watertown. Who would think that he was part of this? Nobody in his background, anybody that's been interviewed, nobody has said he was a nut, he had screwball ideas, he hated America, nothing like that. Different story when, upon further investigation with social media, you pull up his Facebook and other links to other things, then you can see some of the websites that he was looking at, and he was absolutely a part of some sort of a terror cell, would have to be, and it's just a question of, I think, the pulling it all together and figuring out how far back it goes and the links to certain groups and how many others are part of this, because four other people, from what I understand, have been taken into custody as part of this whole deal. And the belief is there's even more, that it was too sophisticated. Some of what they pulled off as far as the trigger devices were too sophisticated for just them. And so now that was part of what Homeland Security and the FBI, et cetera, that's what they were doing with the big clamp on Boston on Friday and Saturday and certainly earlier in the week after what happened on Monday at the marathon. So there are some serious questions, I think, about what the counterterrorism efforts are in this country, how you feel about them, what's happened since 9/11, how much closer we are to really nailing all of this together. You know, why the FBI, who had the one radicalized brother in their sights, thought, eh, he's okay. This is, he got more radicalized after we cleared him. So there were lots of red flags, but once he was cleared, that was it. Did the FBI do its due diligence? I mean, should people be that are suspected be like sharks and be tagged in a way, so to speak, where they're always looked at? Should there be some kind of big change in security after what happened with the attack on Boston? And in the meantime, we're having problems in some airports because of furloughs, believe it or not. And there are a few other things that are also happening of interest. When we get to odds and ends, we'll hit on those too as well. When we come back, more of a timeline on the events. And if you want to throw in your 2 cents, please do. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the Global Elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Weekend and kick off another week. Thank goodness and congratulations to all the people in Boston who really pulled together, not just the people, but also a lot of law enforcement who just tried to slam a lid on all the leads and everything that they could possibly find out about the Boston bombers. And of course, we're talking about Tamerlan, who ended up dying in a gunfight with police, and the 19-year-old brother, Zokar, who is now supposedly awake. They're waiting to try to question him. I mean, this is a guy who I think wanted to end his life when they ultimately found him in that boat. When in the neighborhood, somebody wanted to go and smoke a cigarette. David Henberry, as I said, he goes into his backyard. He has a little bit of a driveway and a boat that's got a cover on it. And it turns out the 19-year-old was inside, had crawled inside that boat and was bleeding. And they believe he shot himself in the throat in a suicide attempt that didn't work out. He also had another injury. So I think the thing to be grateful for is they were able to get him into custody without killing him. Because the arsenal that he and his brother had with them at one point when they started to flee on Friday, when they were smoked out partially because of gunning down an MIT police officer and then all the links to that. But the fact that the 19-year-old ran over his brother as he ultimately escaped in a stolen car. And this is days after the Boston Marathon on Monday. They had six bombs with them. Three exploded. They had a handgun and a rifle. They thought they had pipe bombs. I mean, they had an arsenal. So the fact that they were able to ultimately extract on Friday night, the 19-year-old from this neighborhood, where he was in a boat, and because there was a little bit of a trail of blood, and David Henberry, who lifted up the tarp on his boat, he noticed it wasn't locked down, it looked funny to him, and he saw some blood in a body and called 911, and this was after the police were kind of standing down after 15 hours of the lockdown of Waterbury. So just amazing, amazing what happened here, and the fact that they found him in this backyard, and the fact that they were able to extract him and not kill him, extract him, because there was a return of gunfire there. So after, you know, this manhunt, now it's about the sleeper cell also connected to the two brothers, too, because they believe that they were so specially trained to try to carry out this attack and were planning to also go to New York, by the way, that there were more people involved and other people have been brought in for questioning, that they had skills, and the one brother had gone back to Russia. The 26-year-old brother had the Chechenian had gone back to Russia for 6 months, came back, and the assumption is the little brother was doing, who was now disillusioned because he was struggling in school, was doing what the older brother wanted, and then this is also connected with a whole bunch of other people. And like I said, there's so many wild twists in this thing that as you go through the timeline of it and what's being pieced together, it's just absolutely amazing at how far they got with their plot, to be honest. Matt, you were following this like, of course, everybody was on Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend, and with the culmination on Friday night, actually bringing the 19-year-old into custody, as I said, Zokar, and the fact that he was found in that neighborhood and they were able to pull him out, get him into the hospital. Now he supposedly can speak. I think it's just amazing because of all the battle that was going on. So many explosives were exchanged and so many people were caught kind of in the middle of this because they were trapped in their houses. And you were watching this too. I think we lost Matt. He's piecing it together in his mind too as well. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, you can. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. It's kind of a free-for-all starting the week off. As I said, we're going to zig and zag in a couple of different directions. If we follow the timeline, what happened ultimately, the Boston Marathon, the two explosions, three people being killed, and countless others losing limbs, and the shock of all that, and then the massive clampdown of the FBI, Homeland Security, the local police trying to do everything they could in Boston, shutting down any kind of ports, anything that they thought could be used as the escape route. And here these guys were right in the midst of, right in the midst of these college campuses where you have the University of Massachusetts, the 19-year-old, you have the brother, the younger brother, Zokar Sarnov, and the fact that he went to parties 2 days. 2 days in a row, he was going to parties on the college campus after he killed three people and injured 176 others. Just blending in, I guess, just trying to blend in. But once their photos were released, and we talked about that last week, that's where it got a little bit dicey for them because some people started to recognize them. And the thing is they were planning other attacks, supposedly, on other people, including they were wanting to take their act on the road and go to New York. They had plans to go to New York and stuff that they're not releasing very much, but some of the stuff found in their apartment or the one kid's apartment, they had all kinds of bombs and all kinds of other anti-American pamphlets and information, that kind of stuff. So they were definitely, the 26-year-old was radicalized. He wanted to make a name for himself in a terror network, and he, I think, pulled his little brother into it, too, but they were absolutely ready to take their arsenal of homemade explosives and take them on the road and plan to hurt other people after the Boston Marathon. You know, that was the idea. So the capture and then the celebration, by the way, in this locked down city of Watertown in Cambridge right there, the people going into the streets and applauding as all of the FBI and all of the SWAT team and all the other people that were involved went down the streets because they were leaving. It was just an amazing thing to see and hear, and I think really pulled a lot of people in. And now it's a question of why did the older brother, Tamerlan, why was he off the radar? And after that, ultimately, what was it and what group were they involved with? What was it that they were ultimately after other than we're going to kill as many people as we can and we're going to rise through the ranks of pulling off and wreaking havoc with Westerners because this is part of being an Islamic jihadist, a terrorist. And they watched as the people, as the bombs went off, and now video clearly shows it, that they dropped their bags, triggered the bombs, both bombs, and then stood there and watched as the carnage unfolded. So in London, you can imagine they had a big marathon there. Runners were wearing black ribbons. They had 30 seconds of silence for the Boston victims. But they had so many people out along the routes to try to protect it for fear that somebody else would be sparked by what happened in Boston, that something similar would happen in London. And suffice to say, of course, it didn't. So that's the good news there. Coming back on the flip side, a little bit more about Boston and what about West Texas? Stay with us.
Bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hvextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hvextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your texts, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom designed cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday three-way enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BLOCKITPOCKET.com. Block It Pocket, enhancing health and privacy.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Together, and we were always comforted that they were together in the end. Our family has been overwhelmed by the outpouring of love and support we have received from the community. Doug and Robert has loved and supported to the end.
All right, that sounds like you could be talking about something that happened in Boston, but that was Wendy Norris talking about the people in the town of West Texas. Welcome back to America Tonight. You know, the local churches were just bursting, and of course that's part of the whole healing process for so many. And this is in the wake of the deadly explosion at the fertilizer plant. Just awful what happened there, and you see those explosions played over and over again. Different people had different angles on it. 14 people dead. They still believe there are more, but they're being very cautious about what the count is, for fear that they'll find some more, and they don't want to be all caught up in the count of what happened in this deadly blast. But 14 is the official number. 100 and almost 80 people injured in it because of where it was, in a part of town where there was a community, a lot of houses, there was a middle school, a nursing home, right there, right by the plant. And the tragedy there was certainly overshadowed by the horror show and the dramatic events in New England pursuing the Boston Marathon bombers, the investigation, the suspects, what happened, some of what I've been giving you a smattering of if you missed it. But the Texans kept their focus on what was going on at home, and they've raised a lot of money for the people of West, just like in Boston. A lot of the what's springing up on Facebook and for specific people, they've raised over $1 million. And in West, same thing, they're collecting food and collecting donations in my neighborhood. It's everywhere in Dallas, Texas, and everywhere, and certainly in Texas. There were 9 first responders from West who died fighting the fire. That's 1/3 of the town's firefighting force and EMT guys. I mean, amazing. The fire ripped through 2 fire trucks and ambulance. And so all these neighboring trucks and firefighters came in, and it was just, it's been incredibly emotional, certainly for the people there, a town of, you know, 2,800 people. And the earthquake that they felt afterwards, like 2.1 on the Richter scale. I mean, they say, you know, the lights were flickering, houses just were shattered, and people who survived it feel like they're lucky to be alive. Just a dark plume of smoke that rose off of the north side of that town where people could see it or drive toward it. So the high school, the middle school, heavily, heavily damaged, and they were right there by the fertilizer plant, and it's just unfathomable to those people that they ended up in this situation. They had to evacuate the town, and some are starting to come back, and it's just a massive cleanup effort for if anything's left and ultimately what is, you know, left. The good news is, as I said, just like the people in Boston, so many people are helping, are there to take people in, to help them pick up the pieces if there's anything. And, of course, there's funerals that are going on for the people that are killed. To give you, somebody asked me, well, where's West Texas? Think of Baylor University, which has been on the map lately for winning some championships. Baylor University is 20 miles away from West in Waco, and they're holding memorial services for first responders. You know, they're identifying specifically all those casualties, and it was a week from hell. Last week was a week from hell for so many people, and West Texas is absolutely on the mend and rebounding and doing everything they can, just like the people are in Boston, as they try to piece things together about what was it that made Tamerlan Sarnoff and his brother Zokar do what they did, a 26-year-old and a 19-year-old who escaped their own living hell, their family, in a war-torn area in Russia where their family was really fighting for their lives, and to end up coming to the United States, their father coming to the United States and opening an auto body place, and then to have it come full circle and to have this happen. When people talked about that these kids were such great kids with varying ambitions, the brothers were part of, you know, an ethnic Chechen family that came to the U.S. back in 2002. Think of the timeline. After 9/11, even, and they grew up in a predominantly Muslim republic in the far, far north of Russia, and then they ended up coming to the United States and settling in a working class kind of area, part of Cambridge, and as I said, the father opened an auto body shop. At one point, Zokar, who was going to the University of Massachusetts, did well enough when he was studying, and he went to a prestigious private school, that he ended up with a city scholarship to go to college. And for the other brother, he was a boxer, and by all accounts, the people that initially talked about him said that that both of these guys were good guys, but something changed, and something changed with Tamerlan, especially because he started declaring publicly and to people around him his allegiance to Islam, and was spouting kind of inflammatory stuff. Somebody I saw an interview with talked about the arguments they would get in about the Bible, saying he was calling it a cheap copy of the Quran, and was justifying wars with other countries, and saying that he had nothing against American people, but something against the American government and whatnot. And that's the interesting part. Once the pictures were released and things started to get pieced together, and now it's a question of figuring out the other parts of this. Is this a vast sleeper cell? Is it really 10, 11, 12 people? Because several people have already been picked up. What was their role? How can you go back and piece a different timeline together? To me, that's the part now that we, you know, ultimately want to know. How did they get to this point to Monday of last week doing what they did at the Boston Marathon and end up with Tamerlan, who was, you know, in the middle of police gunfire with his brother running out of ammunition? He was tackled and they were struggling to cuff him. And then the 19-year-old brother jumps back into a car, tries to get out of the way, backs over his brother, drags him down the street just because he was trying to escape, and flees, and amazingly eludes everybody in the dark. Ultimately, a whole day later, is found in the backyard hiding inside somebody's boat, as I was talking about, which is great that they scrambled and they were able to get to him, thank goodness. But searching Boston and trying to find the brother, and how many people were affected in the suburbs? More than 1 million people. Trains were canceled on Friday. Taxis were ordered off the street. Everything was shut down. I mean, it really was like a scene in a movie. In Watertown, people couldn't go out till very late in the day on Friday. And thank goodness, the man that I've been describing, David Henberry, thank goodness, he goes into his backyard on Franklin Street, notices the tarp on the boat was messed up, lifts it, looks inside, sees a man covered in blood, calls the police. And then all of a sudden, everybody comes back into the neighborhood because they were leaving. They've got machine guns, all kinds of ammunition. And even though they traded fire, there was fire going back and forth between the bloody Zokar and the police for about an hour or so, which was all over the tube and everybody could watch it. Finally, at about 8:45 Friday night, police scanners were going off all over the place saying the suspect has been captured. All over Twitter, which was amazing because so many of the people that were in that sort of lockdown, that as not being able to leave, were tweeting what was happening with them, what was going on with bullets, you know, flying around. There was a couple who hid under a table and a bullet had gone through their house and had pierced through the television, and just a wild scene, very much like a movie, like a movie unfolding in Boston, only it was too real for way too many people who are now trying to get out of the city, at least to escape and take a breath after going through what they went through and then the culmination of it over the weekend. And now it's a fresh new week. It's about leads. It's about cells. It's about how safe we feel as Americans. And how about immigration and what we really want to see happen with immigration and our borders at a time when we're talking about immigration bills? What is it that we're not doing that we need to step up and do? How far do we go in the United States to keep the country as safe as we possibly can? Many of you sent me some thoughts on that. I'm going to read them coming up around the bend. You can also hit me up by dialing these digits, 855-266-8, 855-266-5283.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
Strike Hard StrikeHard.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our TruCool process, you now have a choice with One World Whey.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Whey, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.
We've lived in this neighborhood for years. We have an alarm system and all of our doors have deadbolts. They kicked in our door and were in and out of our house in about 5 minutes. The police arrived in about 20 minutes, but they were long gone with our TV, jewelry, and my guns. I kept thinking, what if my family had been home? The police officer said that more than 85% of break-ins are through a door and that deadbolts alone don't stop intruders. The officer told me to go to EasyArmor.net if we wanted something that would actually stop an intruder. Easy Armor reinforces all of the weak points on your doors and is guaranteed to prevent kick-ins. I was surprised at how little Easy Armor costs, and I installed Easy Armor in about 30 minutes.
Visit EasyArmor.net. That's the letters EasyArmor.net. Or call 888-58-ARMOR. That's 888-582-7667. EasyArmor.net. Ultimate door security made easy.
America Tonight, coming off of a wild week, really like a hellish week. We're talking about a couple of different things. A lot of focus on Boston and terrorism, and as I said, with immigration bills and the thoughts of what we should have in an immigration bill flying around. I think we need to get tough on the borders and stop the sissy talk about we need to secure our borders. What does it entail, securing the borders? What about this nonsense of having people come in student visas and not tracking what's happening with the visas? Supposedly that situation's been rectified. However, there are plenty of people that are still falling through the cracks. You want to flip me a couple of comments? You can. 855-266-5283. A lot of you filled up the mailbag over the weekend with a couple of comments. I'll get to a few quick ones from that. And I will say, let me clear this up to make sure you know. I said in the beginning, did the FBI drop the ball? Senator Lindsey Graham was on one of the shows over the weekend. I want to say it was CNN. And he was talking about this because, and this is the first thing all of us thought when it came out that the FBI interviewed the 26-year-old Tamerlan Snarnov, that they had interviewed him after the Russians alerted our government, right? So he ends up dying early Friday after a shootout with police where they took two more people's lives, the MIT officer and another, and his younger brother then leads everybody on a wild goose chase until later on Friday. It's like a 15-hour siege, and now he's awake. By the way, he's under federal custody, no charges yet, but that'll happen, I'm certain, probably on Monday. They were talking about he could be arraigned at his bedside on Sunday. So what happened? Did they miss a lot of things in the investigation? What happened with the follow-up? And part of that is because he traveled to Russia for 6 months in 2012. And he was he being radicalized? Did he get some more training? Did he move further up the chain? Why wasn't he flagged at all after the FBI had interviewed him and tracked him during his visit overseas, supposedly? Is this somebody that you keep on your radar, especially with Russia alerting us to him? So is it our laws are screwed up? Was it the FBI failing? Were they ineffective? I mean, listen, we are at war with an elusive enemy called terrorism and radical Islamists. We need to somehow up this. We need to cut the nonsense and stop tiptoeing around a bunch of things. I don't get it. But a lot of people just glued to the tube Thursday, Friday, even into the weekend. There have been so many stories about this. And like I said, we don't want to forget our friends in West Texas, because this has overshadowed what was just a terrible event there with the fertilizer plant explosion. Matt, you were watching this and deep into the night, and wasn't it wild? I mean, I felt like a person in Los Angeles. It's a sport when they watch, because they watch car chases and they're televised. And this, all the stuff that was happening was televised, and Twitter was amazing because of so many people who were ahead of really what was going on with the media.
Yeah, and for all those that listen on a regular basis, you can tell I'm dealing with a little bit of a cold right now. And I made it through the whole cold flu season without being sick at all. And then the last 4 days of staying up watching this news all night long has finally caught up with me. And, yeah, but it was amazing. Just everything going down on Thursday night, the whole search going on throughout the day Friday, and then finally culminating with, you know, they have him cornered in this boat.
Yeah.
And the whole time that's happening, I had, you know, streams from the Boston news media, and I had, you know, your regular cable news networks, and the people who were the first reporting thing was actually on Twitter, and
yep.
I was telling my buddies, I was like, this is like the first time in history where I'm watching the news on Twitter, pretty much. Like, you're reading the news as it's coming out, and everything on Twitter was happening 10 minutes before they were reporting it on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And there were so many that were right there that were hearing the gunshots, that were hearing the explosions,
yeah,
all
and
of
you
that
had
and
people
reporting
uploading
it.
Videos, yep, right away. Yep. And it was crazy. And it was definitely, I mean, I don't want to degrade it and call it a spectator sport, but it was a spectator, like, news event where you're
it
just
was.
Watching this happen live and not knowing what's going to happen next.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Matt's exactly right. I mean, that's why I likened it to what people do in Los Angeles. And luckily, it ends up with an arrest instead of just two dead bodies, a trail that goes cold, or some other arrest because they're part of a sleeper cell. But still, a lot of questions. And I think this kid will squeal. I think they'll get some answers from him for what he knew, because who knows what the older brother told him. But we had a week in Boston that left three people dead, 170 wounded, clearly two others involved, the shooting death of an MIT police officer. Very, very sad what happened there on Thursday. Just boom, point blank, they nailed him. And I think there needs to be a closer look into why his activities were not monitored to prevent perhaps what happened with this terror attack. I mean, we can pat the FBI on the back for good things that have been done, but who were the people in charge of this? How did this slip through? Did they really do their due diligence? I'm going to disagree with the House Intelligence Committee Chair, Mike Rogers, who said they did when they checked into possible radicalization. I don't think so. Somebody dropped the ball here because clearly Russia doesn't call us if they don't really believe that he's a dangerous guy, because they have their information. Tomas in Michigan, hello.
Hey, Kim, how you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Well, you know, we set a new world's record here for floods. You know, I mean, not a world record, but we had the biggest flood ever here in Grand Rapids, a state emergency.
Oh, terrible. Yeah.
It wasn't that bad. You know, it's almost like a tourist situation. Everybody's just checking it out. Nothing compared to what's been happening in the rest of the country. And I'm glad you've been so upbeat and you know, optimistic, because I'm going to throw out the other side of the argument there. You know, two guys with pressure cookers, all right, shut down Boston. Okay. Our government told everybody they could not come out. They recommended, but no one came out. One of the biggest cities on earth, you know, and millions of people, and it was so the cops could find the bad guys. Well, the cops could not find the bad guys, and they gave up. They said, "Okay, everybody, come out!" And within 5 minutes, the citizens of this country found the bad guys. And I submit to you, Kate, that, you know, years ago, the citizens in every neighborhood would have been out, the men would have been out with guns, and they would have found this little scumbag, just like they found him when the police said, okay, you can come out. Because you know your neighborhood. You know who belongs and you know who don't, you know? And it's, you know, I wonder how that guy felt when he was looking at that terrorist, and he had no firearms, because probably they don't allow them in Massachusetts. I wonder what type of magazine he would have liked to have, a little 7-rounder or a big 30-rounder, you know?
I agree with you on the commissioner. They had given up. They pulled the trucks out. I said that. And then because he goes out to smoke a cigarette, like you said, he goes out and lifts the tarp up, which is amazing, sees him, calls the cops, they come back in, and then the rest is history. But to your point, when the conversation goes toward disarming people and the fear over guns being taken away is an example of, hey, people know their hood, and the people, ultimately, that guy, Dennis Henberry, who goes out back, lifts up the tarp like no big deal, makes the phone call, pulls them all back in, and that changed the course. The FBI and the cops were able to get him and take him into custody because of that. Absolutely. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel, and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.